The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Rays, Kevin Cash, who had more than a cup of coffee in the majors. He was a backup catcher for the Rays briefly in the early aughts, as they are sometimes referred to by me. Pulled Blake Snell in the sixth inning of Game 6 of the World Series. Snell was dealing. Tossing a shutout. Struck everyone out. Dodgers came back and won, and boy, is Kevin Cash getting killed today. Rays were leading 1-0 at the time, and Snell was pitching really well. He hadn't pitched past 6 since last July. Remember, he won the Cy Young in the AL in 2018, then had arthroscopic surgery last season, and then this season came back and was working his way back to his previous form. Tossed 5 1/3, gave up 2 hits. You know, he had just, there was a base hit. He'd just given up a base hit in the previous at-bat. And in a one-run game, Kevin Cash is thinking, look, I'm better off with fresh arms. I was like, oh, the analytics, you see? Hey, everyone. Analytics are a tool. And sometimes you can use that tool and get to the wrong result. Sometimes you made the right decision and it turned out wrong. You know, if you just said eeny, meeny, miny, moe and you had two decisions and you picked one, like flipping a coin, you'd be right 50% of the time, right? For that, why even have a manager? Have a monkey do it. But if you use a tool that, say, makes you right 70% of the time, that's very valuable. But then 30% of the time, you're going to be wrong. Better than being wrong 50% of the time. Do you understand the reason the entire league is every single front office has a million guys with PhDs from MIT is not because analytics doesn't work, duh. But this didn't have to do with analytics to me. I'd have left him in, and I use analytics as a tool. I'd have left him in because he was dealing. However, I could see a justification for taking him out. I could. Like, if you ever play chess, sometimes if you want to know what to do, picture it from the point of view of your opponent. What would you, as the opponent, not want to see you do, right? And do that. And the Dodgers were all psyched that Snell came out of the game. But recall, Dave Roberts, in the previous game, yanked Clayton Kershaw 5 2/3. And at that moment, people were like, why are you taking Kershaw out? And that was with the knowledge that Kershaw blew up after 6 innings and they were getting pretty close to that point. And it worked for the Dodgers. Let me say something. I would not have taken Snell out. I think it was a mistake. In a one-run game, when the tying runs on base, and you're about to see a... By the way, you know why relief pitchers have lower ERAs than starters? Because you only have to see everyone once, or anyone once. You don't have to see him twice. You know why starters need more pitches in their arsenal than relief pitchers? They don't just a fastball and breaking ball. They need an off-speed, you know, like a changeup or something. Because they're going to see the lineup 3 times. But people found out over time, maybe let's just let them see the lineup twice. Especially with these dudes in the Dodgers lineup. Nevertheless, I'd have left them in. But he took them out. We can't prove that that's what ruined the game for the Rays. It's a one-run game with a tying run on. Let's say Snell gets out of the inning, doesn't give up a run. Is he pitching a complete game? You don't think at any point he's, you know, the way the Dodgers can work a count that maybe he's way so over a pitch limit he loses effectiveness and they got to yank him anyway in a one-run game in the World Series where they're facing elimination when you have fresh arms in the pen? Yeah, probably he's not pitching a complete game, right? And if he's not pitching a complete game, after all, 5 1/3, he's at 73 pitches. Is it going to be 100 pitches by the sixth inning? 6 1/3, 100 pitches? How many pitches are going to let him throw? And by the way, the reason everyone throws so much harder now than they used to is because everyone is throwing each pitch harder, which takes a greater toll on your arm. When I was a kid, if a pitcher hit 100 on the radar gun once in 2 or 3 seasons, it would be big news. Oh, my God, that dude threw 100. You see that pitch? Nolan Ryan, Goose Gossage, he threw 100. Now everyone throws 100 miles an hour because they're going all out and they're pitching fewer innings. So they're going harder. But let's say Snell was having this incredible game. He's going to 120 pitches like the old days, right? Before he stopped being effective. Who's to say that gets him the complete game? Maybe he's in the eighth inning now. Understand. The Dodgers held the Rays to 0 runs after they gave up the one. So in order to avoid extra innings even, Snell plus the bullpen could not give up a single run or they're in extra innings. And is everyone so sure that wasn't going to happen if you leave Snell in? Stop it. You don't know that. In fact, I suspect, as you do, eventually, Snell and or the bullpen, which was likely to come in the game anyway at some point, would have given up a run at least. Dodgers didn't give up any more runs. You don't know that that cost them the game. I don't think it was the right move, but you don't know it cost them the game. People were being critical of Dave Roberts when he did it to Kershaw. Here's Blake Snell after the game.
I'm not going to question him. I mean, he's a hell of a manager, so I'm not going to question him. I'll voice my opinion, and yeah, I can only look forward to, you know, the offseason, what I'm going to accomplish this offseason to get ready to, you know, be the best me I can be for next year. But we came up short, and the only thing you can do from this point is get better and focus on what, you know, what I can do to be better for next year. This year is over with. Congrats to the Dodgers. You know, they played better than us. And they earned it, so good job to them. But I want to be the guy that stays out there as long as I can and, you know, give this team the chance to win every ball game, and it sucks, you know, being pulled.
That, by the way, that's a grown man answer right there. He let you know he's a competitor and he wants to keep pitching, praised his manager, and said, we didn't get it done and we need to get better. Grown man talk from Blake Snell in under the worst possible conditions. Kevin Cash, raised, what's that?
Did you see Snell when he pulled him out when he was in the dugout? He wasn't grown man understanding then.
I said grown man talk from Snell just then.
He put that mask on. He put that mask on in the dugout because he was saying some things up under that mask.
Of course, you want to see that from a competitor. You don't want to go out there and have the starting pitcher in a World Series game with the game on the line, one run, facing elimination, say, here, Skip, take the ball. I can't get it done. You want him, you know, you want a racehorse champing at the bit. Mm. Kevin Cash, Rays manager, on the rationale behind pulling Snell.
Lineup the Dodgers feature is as potent as any team in the league. Personally, I felt Blake had done his job and then some. Mookie coming around for the third time through. I value that. I totally respect and understand the questions that come with it. Blake gave us every opportunity to win. He was outstanding. They're not easy decisions. And that's where I came to the decision. I felt it was best after the guy got on base. Barnes hit the single. Didn't want Mookie or Seager seeing Blake a third time.
Dude, the hitters today are so good. And the pitchers are going so hard that you don't want to see, like, but okay, let me ask you this, everybody. Mookie Betts was very happy that Snell came out of the game and said so. Are you sure that Snell was going to get them out with the tying run on? They could have left Snell in the game and Snell could have gotten them out indeed. And the Rays still might have lost because the Dodgers gave up no more runs after that. Snell plus the bullpen would have had to pitch a shutout the rest of the way to preserve a 1-0 lead. That was unlikely anyway. Joining me now on the Shell Penzo Performance Line, the mayor of Title Town. Some people call it Tinsel Town, but Mayor Garcetti, it is now Title Town. How are you feeling this afternoon?
I feel incredible. I mean, this is, I've often said Los Angeles is the sports capital of the world. It certainly feels like it this month. And I've been waiting 32 years for this moment. I was actually, I know you're a Columbia guy, I was at Columbia in a freshman dorm in Fernald as a first year, watching in 1988 with a couple people giving me gruff from the Bay Area playing against the A's when we won, and I've been waiting ever since. So I feel like a kid all over again.
So that baseball do that to you. Baseball, I think, unlike more than any other sport, is about the generations. It's about the father to son and increasingly now just parent to child. about, I think of my late great brother Sam and cutting school and buying a packs of baseball cards and trading baseball cards in a stoop in New York, or going to play stickball in the summer and pretending we were the Yankees, you know? There's something about baseball that's different that way, and even for the mayor of the town.
No question. I used to play Steve Garvey with my best friend Peter Sokoloff, and he would play Ron Say, and we would just reenact every play of every game we ever saw.
I used to wish Garvey was hitting in the Yankees lineup in front of Reggie Jackson when I was a kid. So let's talk about championships and Los Angeles right now. It is my contention that the following is true, and I understand you are a politician after all, so I don't know how you'll answer this, but this is how I perceived it. I lived in L.A. for 6 years doing Afternoon Drive on ESPN Radio. That L.A. is a series of, like, it's not, compared to New York, not great infrastructure in terms of public transportation and the like. It is a city that is economically segregated largely. It is an extremely diverse town, but I used to take my daughter to the park, and I'd see every ethnicity and nationality represented in the park, but each in their own little cliques. It's not exactly a melting pot. But the one place where I said, this is not just a bunch of or not as well-connected kind of little enclaves and suburbs, but the one place where I saw, this is a city, this right here is one people, was it Lakers games? Was it Dodgers games? Everyone from every walk of life all over Los Angeles descends upon those arenas and are all pulling in the same direction. What do you think of my theory that the Lakers and the Dodgers and sports are, especially those two franchises, are more than anything else what makes the town over which you preside a city?
I agree with you. I mean, I think a lot's changed. It is absolutely way more integrated than when I grew up in the San Fernando Valley. And, you know, you see Armenians living next to Guatemalans, living next to Japanese Americans, living next to African Americans. But there's like four things in our DNA: the sun, the sand, Lakers purple and gold, and Dodger blue. And we absolutely see the entire city. I was talking to a friend of mine earlier today, and she is the daughter of Mexican immigrants. She's like, the Dodgers were our civic introduction to America. We became Americans through the Dodgers. We were proud Mexican Americans. We were proud immigrants. But it was how we kind of learned what America is all about. And then her brother went on to actually work for the Dodgers. They said last night, you know, their family was just going nuts. Their father, who's this Mexican immigrant, it's like what he clung to in terms of his identity as an Angelino and as an American. And I think that's the power of baseball. That's the power of sports, to get past all the BS and the division and, like, you're supposed to be against this person. It unites people, and certainly this town is united. It's resilient. We're imperfect in L.A., but we're an imperfect paradise, and it certainly feels like it today.
Talking to the mayor of Los Angeles, the mayor of Titletown, Eric Garcetti, here on the Max
Kellerman
Show, ESPN Radio.
Titletown, baby.
Right, from Tinseltown to Titletown. But who says it has to be an either or?
It can be both. We got it.
That's right. Your Honor, listen, I think of, that's like within Los Angeles, how it makes it a town. Then I think about outside of L.A., what it means when L.A. is on top of the sports world. After all, the NBA championship, the World Series championship, the Rams are looking excellent. The Chargers have an excellent young quarterback. The Clippers even got to a Game 7 in the second round. It's farther than they've ever been, right? I was thinking about what it means outside Los Angeles. And,
you know,
the number one American export is, in fact, our culture. We export our culture around the world. It's our number one export. And the portal through which we do it more than any other is Los Angeles, right? That's how we do it. So when LA is on top of the sports world, it not only resonates in the sense that it makes LA a city, but it also outside LA, I think, means extra to people because of that.
There's no question. I mean, I've been blessed either representing my city or my country, or just even before I was an elected official. I lived in Europe. I lived in Africa. I lived in Asia. I've traveled to those places. And you see somebody wearing a Dodgers cap in a village in Ethiopia. You see, you know, in China, folks, when you hear from L.A., they say, oh, do you know Kobe? You know, it is in South Korea where they've seen, and in Japan where they've seen folks from their country play for the Dodgers, and whether it was Nomo or Rue or somebody else, they're always going to be loyal to the Dodgers. It is an American brand. It's one of the greatest exports that we have, as you said. And to me, that always makes me feel home, no matter where I am around the world. You can start a conversation with a complete stranger, and they're going to, you know, depending on the generation, they're going to talk to you about Magic or Kobe or now LeBron. They're going to mention, you know, if it's a baseball place, baseball, or just even have the logo of the Dodgers on something they're wearing, because that is the logo for L.A. too. And it makes me really proud, not just to be an Angeleno, but to recognize that, you know, America's at its best when people want to be like us. You know, the Olympics are going to be coming here in 2028. You can add that to your list of the great things happening in L.A. and the first Paralympics. It'll be the third time we have the Summer Games here, the first time since 1996 in America. And we want to make these great American Games, because L.A. is America and America is L.A. And at a moment when people are beating up on cities and, you know, calling them this, that, and the other, cities are America. And, you know, from New York to L.A., from Chicago to Houston, you know, from Seattle to Miami, it's where we go and where we see our culture and our teams. It's what we celebrate. I think it's time for us, hopefully, through this championship, to embrace our cities again, get back to work, uniting this country.
I want to talk about Clayton Kershaw, but first, since you brought him up, Kobe Bryant. Kobe and Gianna were tragically passed. They passed tragically in a horrible helicopter crash, obviously months ago. And this was the first championship in the NBA played since then. And now the Dodgers just won the World Series. And Mr. Mayor, talking to Eric Garcetti, the mayor of Los Angeles, here on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, I brought my daughter to a basketball skills development program here in New York, Steady Buckets. Shout out Coach Mackey and Coach Lefty. And you know, it's father-daughter thing. Like a lot of parents and their daughters, a lot of fathers and their daughters. And I'm bringing her there, and the custodian comes up and says, "Did you hear?" Because he knows me from TV. And what? And that's when I found out about it. And it was, the whole gym was like choking back tears, because, you know, it's Kobe and his daughter. It's all fathers and daughters at the place, and mothers and daughters. And the way AD was saying Kobe when he was shooting shots and hitting them as the Lakers won the championship, the way the Dodgers just represented L.A., the fact that this occurs in the first championships played since Kobe and Gianna's tragic passing means what to you as a citizen of Los Angeles, not just its mayor?
Well, first, we've held so much pain this year, and it started with Kobe and Gigi's death and the death of the folks that were there with them. I'm a father, too, with an 8-year-old daughter, a beautiful girl named Maya, who I was taping last night as we won this so she could see documented her second championship of the month, her first Dodgers championship, and the same thing when the Lakers won. It hit us so hard, and then this year happened with COVID and economic downturn and the righteous, you know, marches for racial justice and climate change and fires out here that choked our skies. I mean, to me, this was a moment in which we all got back to what we all felt united. When we lost Kobe, we lost a part of ourselves, and our love of the Bryant family and what the Lakers mean to us. I mean, this is our civic church going to, you know, what used to be the Forum, now Staples, going to Dodger Stadium with our parents and our grandparents. You know, my father and I and my daughter were able to watch the World Series when we lost a couple of years ago, and I so wish we could have been there last night and actually witnessed it in Dodger Stadium. But to me, this is our moment of redemption, and to recognize, I bet Kobe is up there looking down on the city, cannot believe what we've accomplished, how resilient, how strong we are, and it reflects who he was. You know, that's the Mamba mentality. You never, ever quit. You just keep going. You keep winning. But you also have to define yourself off the court and transform and evolve and find the way. And I think that's what we're all doing as Americans. That's what we're doing around the world. And certainly for my beloved Angelinos, that's the message of this year. Like, get up, get back. Let's save our lives. Let's save our livelihoods. But also, let's reach for the stars. And we did it today.
Mr. Mayor, I was going to talk to you about Clayton Kershaw, but I want to end right there. That was perfect. And by the way, I'm not a religious man, but in terms of what you leave, it makes it for me even more important that the kind of legacy that Kobe left behind, the number of people he affected, is to me the most important thing. And the city has throughout, you know, since then been honoring him with the way they've gone about their business, and especially in professional sports, the way the LA franchises have done it is, as everyone likes to say, Mamba mentality. But it's true. The mayor of Los Angeles, ladies and gentlemen, Eric Garcetti. Mr. Mayor, always appreciate it when you come on the show, of course. And congratulations as a lifelong Angeleno and a citizen of the town, you know, a denizen of the town, not just its mayor.
Thank you. Amen, brother. Great to be with you, and I appreciate it. Much love and strength to you.
Thank you.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80. And on your smart speaker, reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance.
No bias.
I really like football.
Just facts.
Don't get it crooked here, what I'm saying.
Max's NFL power rankings.
All right, Raj, how are we doing this? You're going over my rankings from last week and seeing how they changed?
Yeah, last week we had you had the Bears up there, but they weren't who we thought they were. No. So who do you got at number five this week, sir?
The Tampa Bay Bucks. Yes, they have two losses, but those who put them number one, it's premature. But they got to be in the top five, even with the two losses, including the recent loss to the Bears. They were banged up when they did play the Bears, and now they're getting Antonio freaking Brown. Are you kidding me? Brady has looked excellent as the season has gone on. Of course, lots of guys would in his situation, but he is one of them. It's one thing to have weapons. It's another thing to use them very well, and he's using them very well. The Bucks are at five.
All right. We had the Packers at number four last week. Who's in the four spot now, Max?
They remain in the four spot. Raj, the Packers are still at four. They won a game they were supposed to win. They did it looking like they were supposed to look. Their defense still isn't great. But what we knew was Devontae Adams. Like, the reason he turned the ball, he threw two consecutive almost pick sixes, Aaron Rodgers, which will never happen again as long as he lives, right? But the reason is the Bucs have a good defense. And also, Rodgers was trying to force things to Devontae Adams a little bit, right? Because he hadn't been there. That's, I think, out of their system. They're getting in a rhythm, and the Packers are right where they're supposed to be.
Okay, you had the Titans at number three, but they lost that heavyweight matchup, that big test against the Steelers last week, so they're out at number three. Who's number three now?
The Seattle Seahawks. Yes, they lost. They did lose to Arizona. It was by the skin of their teeth in overtime, a game they could have easily won. And otherwise have not lost a game yet this season. Russell Wilson is in the MVP, not just conversation, he's leading it at the moment, I would say. And by the way, getting Jamal Adams and Bobby Wagner on the field and healthy at the same time, like, it's not that they have a good defense, they don't, Seattle. But they have elite playmakers, not like some teams, oh, that guy's a Pro Bowl caliber this or corner, and this guy's a Pro Bowl caliber defensive end. These are two all-world defensive players at safety and linebacker and can make big plays in high-leverage moments, as Wagner did to keep Seattle from losing earlier in the season to Cam Newton's Patriots.
All right. Well, you just mentioned that Seattle dropped, and you gave the reasons why. So who's in your number two spot now? Do we have a debut?
Pittsburgh Steelers, who emerged from the clash with the Titans. See what I did? Clash with the Titans. As the only undefeated team left in the NFL. They have a great defense, especially run defense. They have a quarterback who's been there. Claypool is not only outstanding in his own right, but he makes Juju Smith-Schuster that much better. Schuster's really a guy who needs another kind of elite receiver on the other side to so that he doesn't have to be a number one. And by the way, they've been running the ball well. Connor's been running the ball well. I think even though it's true special teams was the difference against the Titans, okay, but Pittsburgh has good special teams. Like, that's part of the team. So Pittsburgh is two.
All right, and number one, tell us why.
The Kansas City Chiefs, because every week I'm taking the Chiefs. Like, they're the best team in football. They have a slightly underrated defense at this point. They have the best quarterback I've ever laid eyes on. They have the fastest receiver who's not like a kick returner you'll ever see. They have one of the best pass-catching tight ends in the history of football. They have an all-world running back in his rookie season on his rookie deal in Hilaire, who's supposed to be also a pass catcher, hasn't even really had a chance to show it because he's run the ball so well.
and they just added Le'Veon Bell. And they got a great coach who just won a Super Bowl. The Chiefs are the best team in football.
All right, well, that's a good list. And you just watch the trend of people keep stealing this segment and going out there and trying to have their teams ranked. And, you know, you just watch it as it continues.
I remember I was walking down Broadway one day years ago, and I said, you know what would be interesting? If I did a ranking of NFL teams as the season was going on, and I thought, like, what could I call this? I got it, Power Rankings. You know, it has a sexy name, Power Rankings. And, you know, ever since then, Raj, everyone wants to rank NFL teams.
Biters.
Could they at least change the name from Power
Rankings?
Well,
at least Stephen A. changed. He did. Stephen A. at least changed the name. He has some respect. Of course, your partner on First Take, he had a little respect, and he changed it to the to the A-list or something
Stephen's
like that.
Stephen's A-list.
Yeah.
By the way, both work. Stephen's A-list works or Stephen A's list work. Stephen's A-list, though, I think, is better. But the point is, right, that was good of him. Come up with your own name at least.
Yeah,
When I invented Power Rankings, I should have called them the Max Kellerman Power Rankings. You know what I mean? I
should have
inserted my
it.
Name. Yeah, well, that ship has sailed. I'll have to think of the next revolutionary idea, Raj. Oh, well.
Yeah, oh, well. Maybe we'll do something with gambling or something no one ever does. You know, talks about NFL games and gambling. Maybe we'll try that on Friday or something.
I knew I kept you around for a reason. Shoot, you want to do that? You want to, like, pick against the spread?
I think it would be great. I don't think anyone else is doing it. We should try it.
I think we should. Yeah. By the way, while we're at it, why only broadcast sports when I'm on TV, right? Like, what if this network broadcast sports 24 hours a day?
Brilliant.
I'm telling you, I don't get me started, boy. Raj, we put our heads together. Who knows what we'll come up with?
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. All right, two things. Number one, Major League Baseball released a statement saying Justin Turner emphatically refused to comply with protocol after testing positive for COVID-19 because they just won the World Series. He said, to hell with this, I'm going out on the field. While he was contagious with a disease which can be deadly, otherwise can have serious lasting effects, and in addition is not about what you or your teammates think. You don't want to be a vector for the disease, spread it. Wearing a mask, social distancing is not about your health or the person you're interacting with, their health. Oh, if they say it's okay, then it's okay. It's about isolating and crushing isolating the disease so we can crush the curve so the most vulnerable among us don't get it. Justin Turner should, if this is true, should be suspended for a year. A year. You want to send a message, you send the message. Just because reckless politicians, the White House released had a news release listing among their accomplishments in science and technology, ending the pandemic. It's a blatant lie. It's pure propaganda. It's the kind of thing you'd expect to see in a communist or a fascist country, and it's clearly un-American. It's not what we expect in this country. And it's misleading many people about the dangers of the disease and the actual facts of the matter. Justin Turner has to be held responsible for his behavior. I know it sucks. You just won the World Series. You want to celebrate, and it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing that may be different than you anticipated. Tough. That's really outrageous that he did that and that any of his teammates went along with it. Again, let me be very clear about wearing a mask and doing the right thing. It ain't about you. It's about other people. And people's reactions to how we should behave or how they want to behave with COVID and whether or not they want to wear a mask. By the way, wearing a mask sucks. Like, I the truth of the matter is, you put the thing on, if you're exercising at all, it's hard to breathe. I get it. And by the way, I know they're outside, lowers the risk a lot. I know we've gotten much better at dealing with COVID. The percentage of cases goes up, right? We have more fresh cases every day, more new COVID cases, over 70,000 than ever before. But the death rate among those cases has declined because we know how to deal with it better now. I understand those things. It's still, like, for him to say, no, I'm not going to comply with what baseball is telling me, and to go out and do that is so serious. I think he needs to be made an example of, but not only that, just on its face. This is like, remember when Rudy Gobert, would like touched all the microphones because he was making light of it. He didn't know he was positive. Had he done that knowing he was positive, he should have been suspended for a year. I'm sorry. I know he wanted to enjoy the moment. It's not a good enough excuse. What an idiotic thing to do. Not just an idiotic thing, but an idiotic and morally repugnant thing to do. By the way, 76ers going to put Daryl Morey in charge of basketball operations to go with Doc Rivers as a coach. Sixers going to be good. Real quick, Gus in L.A., you're on the Max Kellerman Show. Go.
Pleasure to have you back on the airwaves, Mr. Kellerman. Yes. And, you know, I mean, it sucks. It truly sucks, man. 32 years we wait, and we can't even fully celebrate because now we got everyone looking, oh, my God, they're so irresponsible. They're so irresponsible. Dude, we've gone through quite an emotional roller coaster just in the World Series alone. Look at Game 4. We wanted Doc Roberts out, and now people are trying to name their babies after Doc Roberts. And now we can't even celebrate the full way with Justin Turner, man. I'm trying to find a great positive light to have.
Well, here's how you do the positive light. You won the World Series. The Lakers won the championship. The Dodgers are World Series champs. Clayton Kershaw exorcised the demons. Like, it's awesome what's going on in L.A. right now. And this is life. Things don't turn out exactly as you imagined. But we can see the glass is half empty rather than half full. And it's not just half. It's like brimming in L.A. right now. So, yeah, Justin Turner doesn't get to celebrate the way he'd like. Tough. But he did anyway, right? So because he did, I think there needs to be a punishment for Justin Turner, and a serious one. And this is what I think. A year suspension. Not playing. That was news from Max Kellerman Nation. Gus just hit us up on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. I have time for any others? I do. Raymond in California, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, what's going on, Max? How are you?
Go ahead.
Hey, listen, I just got...
Can you hear me okay?
Yep, go.
Okay, I'm here.
Listen, is it me? No, first off, congrats to the Dodgers, but I'm a diehard Yankee fan, even though I was raised out here. And let your coworker know where Altadena is. But is it me, or are you supposed to go down swinging? You're the last batter. You're down two runs, bottom
thought.
Of the ninth.
I had the same thought. At least protect the plate. To be caught looking in the bottom of the ninth inning of an elimination game in the World Series, that's a bad look. You have to at least protect against anything close. Try to foul it off if you can. I agree with that. News from Max Kellerman Nation. Raymond just hit us up on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. I agree. I had the same thought. Like, wait, you got caught looking? And it's still a two-run game in the bottom of the ninth of an elimination game. You got to swing the bat. And it doesn't mean you swing at a bad pitch. It means you spoil a good one if you can. Sebastian in Arizona. Quick, last call of the show.
Hey, Max, how's it going? I just wanted to say, grew up Southern California diehard Dodgers fan. I just wanted to say that I think Julio Urias is probably the best young pitcher we have on our staff, and then we need to sign him to an extension.
Look, the Dodgers, Urias is good, and the Dodgers have a lot of good arms, and that's the Andrew Friedman effect. It's the reason Tampa's in the World Series. He left the blueprint for them. He used to have had their baseball operations. He came to L.A. and got it done in L.A. too. Tremendous job. By the way, L.A. right now, the Dodgers win the World Series. The Lakers win the championship. The Rams are looking good. The Chargers have a young quarterback. Things are looking good. Even the Clippers are good. That's when you know things are good in L.A. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.